Welcome, little children. It's April 14th, 2023, 14:56 hours. Ward Green here with you. I wanted to mention something before we begin today. This study we have for today is from Wild Road, paragraph 6-8. But before we read that, there are so many things I could say about the Book of Manetho, but when we see Joseph mentioned here as appearing in the reign of during the reign of Apophis, we know that that can't be correct, because Apophis was, at least there was one king named Apophis that we know of who ruled for quite a long time, and that's possibly this same person, very possibly, and very probably, in fact, but because we see that there are because it was the 17th dynasty that it's mentioned, we know that that's probably the Apophis who ruled much later in time, more closer to, or quite a bit closer to the year 1600 BCE, which is only about 100 years and a few more before the Exodus. So therefore, there's no way that that could be the right time period for Joseph entering Egypt, and that's just wrong. So, or for him being appointed at that time. So, we know that the context looks wrong, but that doesn't, because of that, because otherwise we might have said, well, Silites can't be Joseph, because he's here, he appears before Joseph on this king list. The air conditioner is running, that's what the noise is. But indeed, because it's the wrong context, we know that Apophis couldn't have been the king when Joseph arrived, because Apophis ruled much, much later than Joseph, than the time of Joseph. So Silites, and we know Joseph ruled as governor, and his name was similar to Silites, so there's no reason for us not to believe that this list is corrupted to such an extent that all the names of the kings are completely wrong. Even the name of the dynasty is wrong. We don't really have to believe any of it. So we're looking for scraps of information, just scraps. We're not really looking for a complete story when we look at Manetho. That was the point I wanted to make. We need to struggle to find anything that fits. So when I added up the years, I added up the years of these kings, and we found some remarkable results for when Joseph arrived, but the names of the kings, we have no confidence in as far as them being in the right time period or anything like that. So, I mean, there's so much confusion in Manetho. It would be disconcerting to try to cover all of the confusing parts. We're only interested in covering the parts that make some sense. So in paragraph 6-8, or chapter 6, paragraph 8 of Wild Road Ahead to History, part 1, it says, in our earlier study of the 28th century BCE in Ark of Urartu, we considered Osiris as Nimrod, brother of Thoth, which would help explain how the first month of the Egyptian calendar came to be named after Thoth. As Nimrod was a great hunter, so Osiris was associated with Orion, the great hunter constellation of the sky. Nimrod, or Osiris, was betrayed by Thoth after some 28 years of reign. The sun, being in Scorpio, according to myth. Myth contains a lot of hidden information that has not been dated yet, with later people adding to the myths. Osiris may have been a god of the moon, as is shown by his having been divided into 14 pieces, this being the number of the days of waning moon after the full moon. With Joseph made Shalit in 1923 BCE and Amenemhat II dying in 1895, the modern dating of his reign and his death. Joseph is ruler 28 years, and as he is second in the kingdom, the lunar analogy with Osiris is in that the moon is second in power to the sun. The pharaoh who ruled after Amenemhat II, who possibly ended Joseph's governorship, or who perhaps was Joseph himself, although not necessarily, was Senusret II, or Sesostris II. It's just another name for Senusret II. And it is either he or Senusret III, his son and successor, who Manetho says conquered all Asia. This deserves at least brief consideration right here. So we're going to consider this some more if we get to our next study tomorrow, which we should. Senusret II was involved in something else here too, we see, which is fascinating. We're going to find that out tomorrow. It's really remarkable. Because no other sources indicate any evidence of Joseph in Egypt, or no other authority of a literary kind, or any, you know, no other work, no other writing mentions these facts about the proof that Joseph did rule Egypt, and he did live in the time of these people in the 12th dynasty, but also that he was in Egypt, that he lived in Egypt, you know, that he was present there in Egypt, and that his family eventually came down to Egypt, or shortly thereafter, actually, but some years after Joseph arrived. And that's why this is so important, because it's the only documentation that I've ever seen, which is what I'm writing about and talking about in my own articles here that I want to share with everybody. It's common material. I'm not seeking to earn any profit from it or retain copyright on it. I'm not interested in that. I perhaps would be not pleased if somebody tried to make money from my work, or, you know, that I might not be happy with. So perhaps I retain copyright, you know, in case there's some reason why I need to exert that copyright. But I don't see any reason for me to hold this information to myself, because it's important information, I believe, for all of us. The study from Proverbs for today is Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. The verse, I should say, the expectation. It's about expectation. Expectation postponed is making the heart sick, but the thing desired is a tree of life when it does come. That's a very important scripture when it comes to the idea of exercising patience, that if we do wish to be patient, we might expect, we should expect, that we're going to be feeling somewhat disheartened or sick in our heart at some point, because we are waiting for something and we're being patient, and we might be patiently waiting, but we're not necessarily enjoying being deprived of the thing we're waiting for. But then it says the thing desired is a tree of life when it does come, showing that we can expect also great great blessings, or great, what's the word, great feelings on the opposite side of being heartsick. We can expect an exaltation, a jubilation. You know, we can expect a rejoicing on our part, being it's described as a tree of life, when we finally receive what we are expecting. It's a very, very positive thing that results. It's a very positive result and a very positive feeling that results from it when we have waited patiently for something and we finally receive it. It's a very important scripture because there are many things in life for which we do have to wait. We can't be always receiving things immediately as soon as we want them, because it's not always possible for us to have them immediately. That's all. Sometimes it takes time to find them. Sometimes it takes time to transport them from one place to the other to get to us. Or sometimes it takes time for us to become mature enough in order to be ready, you know, to possess certain things responsibly, you know, in a responsible way. So today's study in Genesis now, little children, the last thing we heard was that Judah was saying to Joseph, how could he go back to explain to his father that Benjamin had been left in Egypt when Benjamin was the last son that Jacob had, who was from his wife Rachel. And Rachel had died, and Joseph was no more as far as Jacob knew. Benjamin was the only son he had left, so how could Judah go to his father Jacob and tell him, your son is no more, Benjamin is no more, or Benjamin is a prisoner in Egypt? And now, in chapter 45, at this, Joseph was no longer able to control himself before all those who were stationed by him. So he cried out, have everybody go out from me. And no one else stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he began to raise his voice in weeping so that the Egyptians got to hear it and Pharaoh's house got to hear it. Finally, Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers were unable to answer him at all because they were disturbed by reason of him. So Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me, please. With that, they came close to him. Then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now, do not feel hurt and do not be angry with yourselves because you sold me here. Because for the preservation of life, God has sent me ahead of you. For this is the second year of the famine in the midst of the earth, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be no plowing time or harvest. Consequently, God sent me ahead of you in order to place a remnant for you, man, in the earth, and to keep you alive by a great escape. So now it was not you who sent me here, but it was the true God, that he might appoint me a father to Pharaoh and a lord for all his house, and as one dominating over all the land of Egypt. Go up quickly to my father, and you must say to him, this is what your son Joseph has said. God has appointed me Lord for all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay, and you must dwell in the land of Goshen. And you must continue near me, you and your sons and the sons of your sons and your flocks and your herds and everything you have. And I will supply you with food there, for there are yet 5 years of famine. For fear you and your house and everything you have may come to poverty. And here, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin are seeing that it is my mouth that is speaking to you. So you must tell my father about all my glory in Egypt and everything you have seen, and you must hurry and bring my father down here. Then He fell upon the neck of Benjamin his brother, and gave way to weeping, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he proceeded to kiss all his brothers, and to weep over them. And after that his brothers spoke with him. And the news was heard at the house of Pharaoh, saying, Joseph's brothers have come. And it proved to be good in the eyes of Pharaoh and of his servants. Accordingly, Pharaoh said to Joseph, Say to your brothers, Do this. Load your beasts of burden and go enter the land of Canaan and take your father and your households and come here to me, that I may give you the good of the land of Egypt and eat the fat part of the land. And you yourself are commanded, Do this. Take for yourselves wagons from the land of Egypt for your little ones and your wives. And you must lift your father on one and come here. And do not let your eye feel sorry over your equipment, because the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. Following that, the sons of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them wagons according to Pharaoh's orders, and gave them provisions for the way. To each of them he gave individual changes of mantles. But to Benjamin he gave 300 silver pieces and 5 changes of mantles. And to his father he sent as follows: 10 asses carrying good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses carrying grain and bread and sustenance for his father for the way. Thus he sent his brothers off, and they proceeded to go. However, he said to them, Do not get exasperated at one another on the way. And they began going up out of Egypt, and at length came into the land of Canaan to Jacob their father. Then they reported to him, saying, Joseph is still alive, and he is the one dominating over all the land of Egypt. But his heart grew numb, because he did not believe them. When they went on speaking to him all of Joseph's words that he had spoken to them, and he got to see the wagons that Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father began to revive. Then Israel exclaimed, It is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. Ah, let me go and see him before I die. That's the end of Genesis 45. So, I hope you enjoyed the study. It is 15:14 hours, April 14th, 2023. My name is Ward Green, and this is the new member of the family here. This is Cammy, an Orient watch made by Orient, with an in-house movement made by Orient also. This is on me. So, yeah, I love you very much. Have a wonderful day. God bless you, and praise our anointed Savior Jesus. I would say, on behalf of me, Cammy, and Phoebe, say bye for now.